news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
This time, it really is Infrastructure Week. The White House on Wednesday officially unveils its $2.25 trillion Build Back Better infrastructure and job creation plan. About $650 billion is expected to go toward rebuilding U.S. infrastructure, including highways, water systems, and transit agencies, with another $400 billion allocated to care for the elderly and people with disabilities. $300 billion apiece will head to affordable housing and reviving U.S. manufacturing. President Biden is expected to propose a plan to pay for the infrastructure push that includes increasing the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21% and raising the top individual income tax rate to 39.6% from 37%. And it would end tax breaks and subsidies for the fossil fuel industry. It's about time. More details to come, but keep in mind this is just the White House proposal. Many changes will be made before anything is finalized in a bill. Day two of the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin for the murder of George Floyd featured a lot of evidence and testimony from six witnesses. Darnella Frazier was just 17 when she shot the video of Floyd's final moments. She took the stand and provided some of the most powerful testimony of the day.
Would you tell the ladies and gentlemen how you're viewing, experiencing what happened to George Floyd has affected your life?
When I look at George Floyd, I look at my dad, I look at my brothers, I look at my cousins, my uncles, because they are all Black. I have a black father, I have a black brother, I have black friends. And I look at that and I look at how that could have been one of them. It's been nights. I stayed up apologizing and apologizing to George Floyd for not doing more and not physically interacting and not saving his life, but it's like, it's not what I should have done. It's what he should have done.
Frazier said Floyd was clearly suffering as he begged for his life while officers pinned him in the street during an arrest attempt while Chauvin kept his knee on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes. We also heard from Darnella's 9-year-old cousin who was with her that day. And an off-duty Minneapolis firefighter who you can clearly hear on the video repeatedly telling officers to check Floyd's pulse. When testimony resumes on Wednesday, Genevieve Hansen will return to the stand. Again, Chauvin is facing charges of unintentional second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter. The New York Times on Tuesday afternoon reported that the Justice Department is investigating whether Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl and paid for her to travel with him in a possible violation of federal sex trafficking laws. The matter reportedly grew out of another, a bigger investigation into a guy named Joel Greenberg. He's the former Seminole County, Florida tax collector and a Gaetz political ally who was indicted last summer on child sex trafficking charges. Gaetz told the Times that his lawyer said he was the subject, not a target, of the investigation, which he alleged was part of an extortion scheme involving, quote, false sex allegations. This story is just beginning. Stay tuned. Well, President Biden on Tuesday unveiled his first slate of judicial nominees, hailing the diverse group as trailblazing. 9 of the 11 are women. 3 of the nominees are Black women being nominated for the U.S. Court of Appeals, which often serves as a pathway for nominees to the Supreme Court. Also on Tuesday, the Biden administration let journalists into its main border detention facility for migrant children for the first time. Though it was designed for a capacity of 250 people, it's currently crammed with more than 4,100, including children and families. President Biden is under pressure to increase transparency at these migrant processing centers as a wave of new people try to get across the southern border into the country, many of them South American migrants seeking asylum. And the White House on Tuesday also announced several executive actions in response to this surge we're experiencing in anti-Asian hate crimes. The moves came after two Asian American senators complained that there weren't enough Asian Americans in high-ranking positions in the Biden administration. And as activists demand more attention to the violence that's escalating against Asian Americans in the wake of last week's shooting in Atlanta and the former guys blaming China for the COVID pandemic. President Biden also announced the reinstatement of the White House Initiative on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders and announced a $49.5 million grant program for Asian American and Pacific Islander survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence, plus a COVID-19 equity task force to address xenophobia and a Justice Department initiative to curb rising hate crimes targeting Asian Americans. So recall on Friday, the former guy went on Fox Not News and said that his supporters were, quote, hugging and kissing the law enforcement officers at the Capitol on January 6th. Well, now two of those U.S. Capitol police officers are suing the former president for inciting the insurrectionists on January 6th, nearly leading to their deaths. The veteran cops James Blassingame and Sidney Hemby said that members of the mob used pepper spray and tear gas to assault them during the deadly riot, and they blamed Donald Trump for the injuries they suffered defending the Capitol. In their complaint, they note Trump's December 19th, 2020 tweet in which he told supporters, quote, "Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. We'll be wild." Hey, breaking news on Wednesday morning, as Pfizer says that its COVID-19 vaccine is safe and 100% effective in preventing the illness in teenagers aged 12 to 15. Pfizer is expected to ask for emergency authorization to begin vaccinating the tweens before they head back to school in the fall. Smoke them if you got them. In Virginia, Democratic Governor Ralph Northam announced amendments to legislation establishing a timeline for the legalization of marijuana possession, use, cultivation, and retail sales. He recommended that the provisions that legalize personal possession and personal cultivation by adults take effect on July 1st, 2021, rather than on January 1st, 2024, the enactment date initially approved by lawmakers. If the legislature approves the amendment, those age 21 and older would be permitted to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana and to cultivate up to 4 cannabis plants per household without penalty as soon as later this year. The Virginia legislature will reconvene on April 7th to accept or reject the proposed amendments. And in New York, all that's left is Andrew Cuomo's signature. New York's legislature voted to legalize possession of small amounts of marijuana, launch programs to help communities that bore the brunt of the national and state drug war, and eventually allow marijuana sales to people over the age of 21 under a big new bill. Once Cuomo gets the legislation, he has 10 days to approve or veto it. He has said he's looking forward to signing the bill. And things aren't looking too good for the former guy. A federal judge on Tuesday ruled that the non-disclosure agreement he required employees to sign is so broad and vague that it is unenforceable. There's always been a question of whether public employees can be forced to swear a vow of secrecy, but Trump's Department of Justice was willing to try to enforce his NDAs. Trump's lawyers say they are considering an appeal. Now, in other Trump-related legal trouble news, the New York State Court of Appeals ruled that a defamation lawsuit against the former guy by former Apprentice contestant Summer Zervos could continue. The suit had been on hold because Trump's lawyers argued that a sitting president couldn't face legal action. While two previous courts ruled against him, this decision is from the highest court in New York, and it opens up the possibility that Trump will face a deposition in which he could be asked under oath about sexual assault accusations. I got to do. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.